All right, if you'll please open your Bibles to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And it's my personal belief as we go into revival services next week that this is probably the quintessential passage on revival as we look at what David has to say to us. And, of course, the title of the sermon, as you can see in your bulletin, is Revival Meetings or Revival Matters. As I talked a little bit last Sunday night, we can have revival meetings. We've got a great preacher coming and got some wonderful music lined up. And Greg's been working hard to get that air working. And by the way, Greg, thank you that we have air this morning. But I want you to know that it's all for naught unless we come prepared to hear from God. And so this morning I want us to talk just a little bit about revival meetings or revival matters. Just a couple of things. First of all, Dorothy Giddens passed away Friday. Sue Lassiter and Harry Cornelius, that's her brother and sister. And so you be in prayer for that family. The funeral is this afternoon at 4 o'clock at Lovins, and I think the visitation is an hour prior to that. So you be in prayer for Sue and Harry and the loss of their sister. Tonight, Ice Cream Fellowship. Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. What? Okay. Listen, I'm going to be here to eat ice cream. Y'all can stay home if you want to. But 6 o'clock tonight in our fellowship hall, homemade ice cream. I've been promised that there's going to be at least one churn of blueberry homemade ice cream, my very favorite. So come tonight. Let's just fellowship as a body of believers together. That's important that we do that. And it doesn't hurt to do it over a little bit of ice cream, and who knows what else might turn up. And then, as I've already mentioned, next Sunday, Bob Pittman will be our evangelist. Bob was here with us just a little over a year ago. And Brother Bob is one of the finest, most gifted preachers of God's Word. He just has that giftedness to be able to say very difficult things in a very simplified way so that you understand it. So let me encourage you, beginning next Sunday morning, be back here and be prepared, as we talk about this morning, be prepared to hear from God. Psalms 51, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 12. Psalms 51, verses 7 through 12. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Let's pray. Father God, as we have already rejoiced this morning over the baptism of five young people who have given their lives to you. You've saved them, you cleansed them, you changed them, you filled them with your Holy Spirit. And now, Father God, we pray that they will grow and mature in their faith, and Lord, that they will serve you to the end of their days. Lord, we have an opportunity beginning next Sunday to gather as a body of believers, to worship you, to hear one of your choicest servants, to be able to sing wonderful music, and Lord, for personal revival to take place. Lord, revival is something that happens in each individual heart. And that impact will carry over into the congregation as a whole. So, Father God, we pray, no, we beg that you will send revival. And Lord, let it begin with me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you'll remember, the context of this passage is David and his sin. He had committed murder. He had committed adultery. And he was confronted by God. And Psalm 51 is written really from a broken heart. It's a It's a prayer of repentance that David is praying to his God. He has come to the point he recognizes his sin, he confesses his sin, and he calls out to God. He says, God, I want to be restored. And so he gives us in this prayer, I believe, four benefits of revival. Four benefits of revival very quickly this morning. First of all, one of the benefits of revival is removal of our sin. Removal of our sin. Look at verses 7 and 9 again. Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. What David is asking God for is a complete cleaning. Not a partial cleaning, but a complete cleaning inside and out. Folks, that's what revival is. That's where we come before God and we say, God, here we are, all that I am, Lord. Now it's your turn. Cleanse us inside and out. That word hyssop there, it's an herb used in the Old Testament for cleansing. At the first Passover, hyssop was used to put blood on the doorpost as the death angel, before the death angel passed over. In Leviticus, the priest would use hyssop to sprinkle blood on lepers to signify they had been ceremonially clean. They had been completely and totally clean of their leprosy. In verse 7, he uses that term, wash me. Wash me. Why do you wash anything? Because it's dirty. You wash a car. Why? Because it's dirty. Now, I know those, y'all look at my blue man van and y'all say, it's never been washed. That's because I'm afraid it'd fall apart if I washed it. But when you wash your clothes, when you wash your car, when you wash anything, it's because it's dirty. It needs to be clean. You see, we all have the stain of sin. All of us. Even those of us who are the children of God, followers of Jesus Christ, we have the stain of sin. And when we repent, Jesus cleanses us of that sin. He washes us. It says he washes us whiter than snow. Now, I know snow is a kind of a foreign concept for most of us here in South Georgia, especially if this is where you've grown up and lived all of your life. But having lived places where there has been snow, there's nothing more beautiful than to wake up in the morning and to see fresh snow that had fallen overnight. Everything looks so clean. Everything looks so white. Everything looks so pure. That's what God can do to our sinful heart. He can cleanse us inside and out. He can wash us. And then in verse 9, he uses an interesting term there. It says, blot out. He wants us to blot out all my iniquities, all my sins. In other words, as if they have never existed. That's exactly what God does with our sin. When he forgives us of our sin, the scripture is clear in many, many places. It says that as far as the east is from the west, he will never throw that back up into our faces. Isaiah 43 verse 25 says, I will not remember your sins. Now think about this. This is a holy God who can't stand sin, but loved us enough to send us his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, not for what he did, but for what we've done, our sins. Forgive us of our sins. And then not only that, you know what? If I was God, I'd be throwing it back up in my face saying, you know what, Keith, you need to get better because you did this, this, and this. That's not how God operates. Now, our enemy operates that way. Now, you need to be careful because oftentimes our enemy, the way he cuts our legs out from under us in serving the Lord and building his kingdom is he keeps us reminding us of our sin and our past. And all we have to say is that's been done. That's been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're never, never have to worry about it again. When God brings revival, he wipes the slate clean. I don't know about you, but from time to time, I need my slate wiped clean. Now, you can do that at any time, but there's just something about revival where we come together and call on the name of the Lord together, and he Well, so we saw, first of all, removal of our sin, but also the renewal of our spirit. The renewal of our spirit. Look there at verse 10 again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David is saying he needs a new heart. Not a new physical heart, but that which we look at, that heart, that which is our spiritual being, if you will. He needs a new heart. You see, with sin, we need a complete replacement. Let me give you an illustration of this. Kind of an ongoing saga, but a couple of weeks ago, we had to take our Yukon in and get a new engine put in. Oh boy, the joy. That's Christmas for the next at least 10 years. But we had to put a new engine. It was cheaper to go ahead and put a new engine in than to make car payments and all that kind of stuff. But we had a choice. We could get a brand new engine, what they call a crate engine, and all the warranty and everything's new, and they'll just stick that dude right in your car and you keep on moving on. Or you can get a rebuilt engine. And the guy told me, he said, well, the least miles that we can find on a rebuilt engine is about 150,000 miles. He said, if it were me, I would go with the brand new engine. Listen, God doesn't deal in rebuilt. He deals in brand new. He gives us a brand new heart. In other words, when he cleanses us inside and out, it's as if we had never sinned. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Well, we've seen the removal of our sin, the renewal of our spirit. Third, reassurance of our salvation. Reassurance of our salvation. Look there at verse 11. Do not cast me. Remember, this is David crying out to God in a prayer of repentance. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David is begging God, God, don't take away my salvation. Don't take away the Holy Spirit from me. Now, because of sin, we deserve to lose everything. We didn't deserve salvation to begin with, and certainly once it's been granted to us through the grace of God, when we mess up, when we sin, he has every right to take it from us, but that is not how God operates. John chapter 10, verse 28, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And listen, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. It's for keeps. When God saves us, he changes us, fills us with his spirit. It doesn't matter how bad a sin. It's for keeps. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to convict us of that sin and keep convicting us of that sin until we come clean. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In other words, there's nothing that can separate us from Christ. Nothing that can take our salvation away from us. So we see the removal of our sin, the renewal of our spirit, the reassurance of our salvation. And number four, and this is the one I really want us to focus on. Number four, and this is where a lot of us are, if we were honest, restoration of our joy. Restoration of our joy. Look at verses 8 and 12. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Let me tell you, one of the things that in believers' life that revival does is it brings joy. It brings joy. That word restore there, it means to put something back you once had. It's easy in this lost, fallen world to allow the world and the enemy to so impact you that you lose your joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what revival does, is it gives us an opportunity to cry out to God and to God, I want the joy just like it was that first day that you saved me. I want that joy restored in my life. Nothing can compare to being in a right relationship with God. John chapter 10, verse 10, one that's familiar. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Listen, we don't have to wait till heaven to have the joys of our salvation. Yes, we've got a lot to look forward to in heaven, but right here and now. Remember, happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then we should live a life of joy. You can be in the worst of circumstances, but yet because of Him and the hope and the promises that come through Him, you can have a life that is filled with joy. Psalms 16, verse 11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. We see here in these few verses, we see the removal of our sin, the renewal of our spirit, the reassurance of our salvation, and the restoration of our joy. The word revive that we get revival from. Revive. The re means again, and the vive means life. In other words, to have life again. Listen, revival services, yes, they are for the lost. We want to see lost saved. But revival, first and foremost, is for the children of God. For us to get right with God, for us to have our sins forgiven, for us to have our joy restored so that we can continue to serve Him until He calls us home or until He returns for us. Now, I always like to say that before you can be revived, you must be vived. You have to have the new life. And so our invitation this morning is very simple. You don't have to wait till revival services to be saved. If you're here this morning and you realize that you don't have that joy because you've never known the one who gives the joy, Jesus Christ, I want you to know during our invitation time, if you'll come, we'll very patiently sit down with you, open God's word, and share with you what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. Maybe you want to get a head start on revival. Maybe the Lord has already been speaking to your heart this morning. I want you to know our altar is open. If you want to come and just start getting your heart ready for revival, whatever it is, this morning during our invitation time, I pray that you'll be obedient to the Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. David, a man who loved you and you loved him, but yet he messed up big time. But Lord, your word tells us that you forgave him and you restored him. If he can forgive a murderer, if you can forgive an adulterer, there's nothing you can't forgive. Father God, for every person here this morning, those who maybe for the first time realize that they need you, they need you, they need to be forgiven of their sins, they need to be saved, I pray they'll come. Lord Jesus, for those who just want to be ready for revival. The altar is open. Lord, whatever you do, we pray that your will and your way will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.